Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. You got your place? Say amen. Amen. Galatians 5, I'm going to start in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd help us. God, we need you tonight. I need you. And these people, they're here tonight because they need something from you, from your word. And I pray that, God, your word would not return void. I pray that your spirit would have free course in this place tonight. And Lord, we miss those that aren't here, and we pray for them. But God, Lord, those that are here tonight, each one of us, we need something from you. And God, we're asking for your touch and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. In verse number 16, Paul writes and he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In verse 24 and 25, he said, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." And then he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." As a child of God, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's a command you and I have tonight. We sometimes take that lightly and not serious enough, but that is a daily command that you and I have constantly to be filled with the Spirit. And let me say this, anything opposed to that is a disobedience to God's word. That's a serious thought. But when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, when we come to Galatians 5, he has told us some things about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to preach about tonight the fruit of the Spirit. He contrasts the fruit of the Spirit here in these verses with the works of the flesh. If you go back in verse 19, he lists the works of the flesh. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That is, they are revealed. They're seen. "Which are these?" And he says, "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Right. And so he lists a list there, and he says, these things are the works of the flesh. And he says they are evidence of someone who's not saved. It's the work that they produce. It is the lifestyle, the habitual lifestyle of someone that's not saved. Now that doesn't mean that every person that's not saved is going to commit all of those. But what he's saying is if these things are a pattern of someone's life, that's a good evidence that they've never been saved and they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can mark it down. If somebody's lifestyle is described there, they're probably not saved. You don't have to be God to judge them. That's just what the Bible says. And so he shows us the works of the flesh. But in verse number 22, and let me say this before I get into verse 22. Many times I'm afraid as Christians, we look at 19 through 21 and we say, "Oh, I don't do that, so I got this thing down pat." But he gives us a list in verse 22 and 23 that are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I might add this, that a machine produces work. I used to work in a factory, and those machines in those factories, you start them up and they work. And because they work, they produce product. It's a mechanical feature that those machines work. But God, when he talked about the flesh, he talked about work. But when he talked about the Spirit, he didn't say the work of the Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I say that to say this because a machine produces work. But in order to have fruit, you've got to have life, because fruit is an extension of or a reproduction of life. Fruit can only come from something that's alive. I don't care what kind of machine. I used to work in some machines. And y'all young people, y'all love this. I worked on a machine that made Reese cups. And I worked on another machine and it made Reese's Pieces. And I worked on another machine and it made Nutrageous candy bars. Amen. Is anybody getting hungry for a candy bar? Amen. And I didn't like them. I'd have just soon had a Snickers or a Baby Ruth. Amen. But that's the wrong company. Hey, but watch it now. Those machines could put those out, but I never one time did I sit there and look. Look, an apple came out of the machine. No, the machine did not produce apples. You want an apple, you had to go find a tree that was alive, that was an apple tree, and you could get an apple off of that fruit tree. If you want a lemon, you got to find a lemon tree. If you want an orange, you got to find an orange tree. Is everybody with me? There is no machine anywhere that I know of that produces oranges or apples or grapes. All you got machines that people put artificial mix in and they try to simulate the taste of something and imitate it. But listen, there is not a machine that can produce fruit. Fruit is only produced from life. Now, God told us right here in His Word the fruit of the Spirit, and He told us what it is. And if you notice when he said in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, you'll notice the word fruit is a singular word. It's not multiple. It is the fruit. The fruit. So I would suppose to say to you that either you have the fruit in your life or you don't. Now these fruit, it's one fruit, and it's, let's say it's like a crop or a cluster of nine different qualities. So if I could get you to think, just think about a grape cluster. Everybody's seen a grape cluster. But on that cluster, they're not all grapes. Just think if that cluster was there, they was all on the same vine. One of them was an orange, one of them was an apple, one of them was a grape, one of them was a strawberry. I'd get lost right there, amen. One of them was a lemon and on. And they're all on the same vine. The fruit of the Spirit. You either have it or you don't in your life. And God said that here is fruit that we ought to have in our life. Now, I'm going to go through these. I'm going to define what each one of these are. And I want to tell you something up front. When we look at the first three, which is love, joy, and peace. When I think about love, joy, and peace, I think about that has to do with my relationship with me and God. My Godward relationship. And then he talks about long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And that has to do with my relationship to my brother, to another man here on this in this life as I deal with someone. So that's a man word. And then he talks about faith, meekness, and temperance. And that has to do with my relationship with myself and how the Spirit of God influences my life. How the Spirit of God influences my relationship with God. How the Spirit of God influences my relationship with my brethren. And how the Spirit of God influences my relationship with myself. So let's look at these. Think about the first three, love. Love, this is the word agape. It comes from the word that means a godly love. It's a brotherly love that we love one another. That the only way we can have this love is because God has shed abroad this love in our heart by the Holy Ghost in Romans 5:5. This is an affection, a goodwill, a love, and a benevolence. And God said that the fruit of the Spirit, number one, the number one quality of that fruit is love. Are you with me? Don't go around hating and trying to tear people apart and trying to destroy people and tell me that you're fruit of the Spirit or that you're filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the next one he said is joy. Now this word joy is joyfulness or gladness or cheerfulness. It is someone that is full of glee or bliss. Now, don't go around grumbling and complaining and always bitter and never happy and trying to convince anybody that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Because one of the signs, one of the qualities of your life, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, is not only do you have love for your brethren and for God, but you have joy in your heart. Now let me say this, joy is not dictated and controlled by the circumstances of life, but this joy is a joy that is within, and no matter what the circumstances of life are, no matter what situation you face, you know that you have a relationship with God, and you know that you have fellowship with Him, and because of that, there is a joy on the inside that is produced. Joy, happiness, happiness. You don't have to go around with the poochie lip all the time. Peace. Peace. Peace is a state of tranquility. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 5 that before you got saved, you were at enmity with God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'm not against God. The Bible says if you're not saved, you're an enemy of God. But peace is a state of tranquility. It's a state of exemption from all rage and all havoc and all war. It is the state of peace between individuals, or we use the word harmony or concord. Peace produces security and safety and prosperity and felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Peace. This is the qualities. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love for your God. Love for the brethren. Love for sinners. Joy. That's happiness. Joyfulness. That's not controlled by that thing around you. That even in the midst of the darkest, deepest valley, there's a joy on the inside that says, hey, there's within my heart a melody. Amen. He keeps me singing. And peace. Free from tranquility. Free from havoc. Free from chaos. Which has to do with my Godward relationship. Then the manward. Well, how do I treat man? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. The word long-suffering has to do with patience. It's the word, it literally means patience or endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, long-suffering. Has the idea of being slow in avenging wrongs, to dwell in the midst of the pressure, to have persecution come your way, but instead of you snapping and going off on someone right off the bat, you are long-suffering, able to be patient and endure some things. Long-suffering. And then he says this, gentleness. Gentleness is the word that means moral excellence. Moral goodness. Has to do with integrity and kindness. These are the qualities of a Christian, that the way I treat my fellow brother is I'm long-suffering toward them and I'm gentle toward them. I have moral excellence. We need some moral excellence, some kindness. And then he says goodness. The word goodness here is the word virtue. Upright of heart and life. Goodness, kindness. Real similar. Virtue. You don't hear a whole lot about virtue. What Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue, that's a state of goodness. These are part of the fruit that should be manifested in the Christian's life. And I will say it will be manifested in the Christian's life when we are filled with, led by, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Then it says faith. Now this is going to deal with me in my personal walk. Myself. Faith. Faith is the conviction of truth of anything. Faith is the belief or the assurance of something. Faith is being persuaded and having a moral conviction of truth. Faith is fidelity and faithfulness. Trustworthiness. Faith here speaks of the character of one who can be relied upon. Someone who has the fruit of the Spirit is someone that not only do they trust and believe God, but they're faithful to the truth that they say they believe, and they can be counted on. And then he says this. He says meekness. Now don't get the wrong idea of meekness. I'm afraid many times we think of meekness and we think immediately of someone who is weak. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is gentleness, mildness. The word that we would get a picture of, humility. If I could get you to think about this, meekness is strength under control. The Lord Jesus was meek, was he not? Y'all know about Jesus, right? One of the descriptions of Jesus is what he was meek. What about when he went into the temple and they were doing some trading and selling that was wrongful, and he went in the temple and he took a whip and he cleaned house. I'm talking about he went in there and knocked over the tables and took a whip and run them out. Was he meek? He was meek. Meekness is not weakness. Just because someone is weak doesn't mean they're a sissy. Meekness is the biggest, strongest man you can imagine being under control. Knowing when to use that strength. He said the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And then he said the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance. Here's the word. Temperance means self-control. It is the virtue of one who masters his desires and his passions, especially his sensual appetites. So when you see someone who cannot control their appetite, and I'm not just talking about eating at the table, but I'm talking about they can't control their lust, they can't control their mouth, they can't control their life and their desires. Someone who flies off the handle has no self-control. It's evidence that they are not producing in their life the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. It's self-control. I've seen people say, well, I just couldn't control myself. Yeah, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you could. Seen some crazy things, and you may have too, some crazy things taking place in church and say, well, they was out of control. If they're filled with the Spirit of God, they wouldn't have been out of control. Because the Spirit of God will never cause someone to do something out of control. These are the qualities that make up the fruit. These are qualities that, when we think about this, you say, what is fruit anyway, preacher? I'll just give you a few definitions of fruit. Webster says this about fruit in a general sense. It is whatever the earth produces for the nourishment of animals, so it's for food, or for clothing or profit. Among the fruits of the earth are included not only corn of all kinds, but grass, cotton, flax, grapes, and I don't have to go on and on. Y'all know what fruit is. It grows out of the earth. In a more limited sense, fruit is the produce of a tree or of another plant. It is the last production for the propagation, listen to this, for the propagation or multiplication of its kind. Fruit is the seed of plants or the part that contains seeds, such as wheat, rye, oats, apples, pears, tomatoes, cherries, acorns, melons. Inside of that fruit, there are seeds. Fruit is the production, or it is that which is produced. Another definition of fruit is that fruit is the fruit of trees, vines, and fields. Fruit is could be speaking of the fruit of one's loins. In other words, your child is the fruit of your loins. Your progeny, his posterity. That which originates or comes from something, fruit is the effect and the result. Fruit. So when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of one being led by the Spirit of God. I just want to give you three simple thoughts about fruit, and we'll go to the house. Number one, when we think about fruit, understand now, there is a contrast. And I'm afraid the Pharisees could say, we don't do this, we don't commit adultery, we're not drunkards, we're not idolaters, there's a lot of things, we're not into witchcraft. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christians, we've got our little list and we say, well, I don't do this. But is your life characterized by verse 22 and 23 is my question. Now I'm going to be honest with you, church, I'm going to be honest with you, teenagers, young people, I'm against sin and I hate sin, there's a lot of things I'm against. But as much as I want you to flee from sin, I want you to flee to Christ. And I want you to learn that you can cling to Him and have communion with Him. And I want you to know that you don't have to hate people and you don't have to be hateful. And you ought not be disrespectful and you ought not be ornery and arrogant. Amen. Those are not evidence of the Spirit of God in your life. I don't care whether you're a pew sitter or a preacher. I don't care what your name is and how much money you got. If love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, these things that we've read all down the line, if that's not the evidence in your life, you're not walking with God. It's proof of it. There's no fruit. I could get up and tell you a lot of things I don't do. Maybe you do some of them, maybe you don't. But what I want to know is not what you do, but what is God doing through you. I'm just simply saying that we could get real legalistic and say, well, we got a list, and here you don't do this, you do this. But I want you to know that verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21, I could set some disciplined patterns in my life, and I can make sure with my own willpower that I don't do those things. Brother Jody, 19 through 21, I could set some guidelines in my life and say, I'm not going to do them. And I could do that whether I saved or lost. I know lost people that are not into idolatry and adultery and fornication. Are you listening to me? I could say no to a lot of things without being led by God, without being filled with the Spirit. But if you read verse 22 and verse 23, that is the fruit of the Spirit. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you will never have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You will never have those things in your life without the Spirit of God dwelling in your life, filling you in your life, leading you, guiding you, and directing you and controlling you in your life. You cannot produce these things in and of yourself. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit without Christ being Lord of your life. You can't produce the fruit without you spending quality time with Jesus. Jesus told us in John 15 that we're to abide in Him and His Word to abide in us. I don't know if you're with me tonight. I hope you're following me. I'm trying to be clear, I'm trying to be concise, and what I want you to see tonight is this thing of Christianity, it's not a list of rules. But you've got to have a relationship with the God of heaven. You've got to have a relationship with Him through the person of Jesus Christ. And you've got to be saved. Listen, and not only do you got to be saved, but as a child of God, we're to be Spirit-filled. And when we are Spirit-filled, the fruit of the Spirit will be evidenced in our life. You can get up and say, I'm against this, and I'm against that, and I'm against this, and I'm for this. And listen, not a lot of those things can be good. But my question is your life, listen, an expression of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have love? Think about it. Do you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Are those things evidence in your life? I'm afraid of a lot of independent fundamental Baptists. It's what we are. Bible colleges, Christian schools. I'm afraid we've got a lot of rules. We've got a lot of people, a lot of standards. But we failed when it comes to guiding them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to be against it. I promise there's a lot of things. I want you to hate sin. You ought to hate sin. Young people, listen. I want you to hate sin. Y'all spread out. I want you to, there's some things you ought to hate. When it comes to the devil and the way he wants to do in your life, you ought to be against it. But just as much as you're against sin, you better learn that you better have communion. I'm talking about sweet communion with Jesus Christ. You better learn to be in His Word. You better learn to be in prayer. You better learn to have some quiet time. You better learn to have a time in your life, each and every day of your life, where you, hey, listen, whether it's in a physical closet or whether it's in your car or your shower, wherever it is in your bedroom, I don't care where it's at, in the cubicle at work or the closet at your house. Listen, find you a place where you and God alone, get in there and you have communion with God. Mommy might be at the kitchen sink while you're fixing supper at the stove. I don't know where it may be, but you better find somewhere where you and God can have communion. Get in that Word. Read that Word. Your children need to know more than you just don't do this and you don't do this and you don't. They need to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit. When I see someone who is disrespectful, hateful, arrogant, self-centered. When I see someone and yet they say, well, I got a short haircut or I wear a long dress or whatever. Listen, I don't care what you wear and what you look like. If you're hateful, bitter, and angry, don't love nobody, I don't want to hear how good a Christian you think you are. The fruit of the Spirit. Let me say this. Number one. Let me give this to you. We'll go past. Number one, fruit is natural. Fruit is natural. See, what do you mean, preacher? Well, fruit is not something you work up by your flesh. I've already went over that. Fruit, you can't produce this fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in your own flesh. You can't do it. We can't have Sunday school classes on how to produce fruit. The only thing I can tell you to produce fruit is spend time with God. Abide in Him. But fruit is natural. You say, what do you mean it's natural? Fruit is produced as a result of one being filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God. Look back at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the opposition of being fulfilling the lust of the flesh? In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And he lists those things. So how do I have fruit produced in my life? Listen, it's a natural produce in your life. Not something that you work up, but it's something that God works in your life as you spend time with Him. And as you read the Word of God, and as you're in prayer, and as you're, listen, committed to spending time with Him and communing with God, and you're dwelling with Him, and you're obeying the Word of God, spending time with Him, God, hey, listen, it is a natural, I may say a supernatural event, that through the process of growth and maturation in your life, He produces the fruit in your life. You don't produce the fruit. All you do is yield your body and say, Jesus, take me and use me, mold me and make me. Holy Spirit of God, fill me and make me what you want me to be. And through process of time, He produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's not necessarily every Christian has the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life, because every Christian is not filled with the Spirit of God. And I say this, you may be filled with the Spirit of God today and you may not be tomorrow. Sort of like your automobile. You're going to fill it up with gasoline, and when you drive it down the road, that tank starts going down, 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 down. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of gas unless when you stop and put the nozzle in and fill it back up. And can I tell you, you can get close to God today, but tomorrow, if you're not walking with Him and you're not in His Word tomorrow, you're not spending time with Him, hey, I'm telling you, you're not going to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God anymore. You've got to make time. But as we spend time with Him and in His Word, fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, it's a natural result. He said in verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So as we have crucified the flesh and as we walk in the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, produces His fruit in our life. You can tell, y'all been around enough. You can tell when you get around somebody who's spent time with God. I've never had somebody that really spent quality time with God come out and chew my head off. I'm talking about in a figurative speech. I've never had somebody spend quality time and get up and complain about everything. You know why? Because when they're filled with the Spirit of God, they're gentle and they're good and they're kind and they're loving. And I'm not talking about swampy agape. I'm not talking about somebody that looks over and says, oh, it don't matter what. No, no, no. I'm talking about true love and caring and compassion. And I'm afraid somewhere along the line in our churches, we've got hung up on our convictions, and we ought to have convictions, but we've left out the compassion. People, it's been said, they're not going to care what you know until they know how much you care. And they're not going to know that you care about them until they see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Number one, fruit is natural. Number two, fruit is needed. Fruit is needed. You say, why is fruit needed, preacher? Well, number one, fruit is needed in order for you and I to reveal and to represent Jesus Christ to others. We're in here in this life. We are here as Christians. We're left here so that we can let our light shine so that others can see Christ through us. Christ cannot be shown through us if Christ is not abiding in us. We're not abiding in Him. If I'm not spending, if I'm spending more time in the things of the world, and I'm spending more time on the television, and I'm spending more time on the internet, and I'm spending more time with my friends and my video games, and whatever it may be, if I'm spending more time on everything else of the world, and I'm not spending time in the Word of God, I'm not going to do this world much good. Because I'm going to be influenced by the world and not by the Word of God. And as I spend more time in the Word of God, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Christ begins to be revealed in my life. See, all of these qualities, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of these things are qualities that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them could be a description of Jesus Christ. I challenge you to take each one of them, look at the life of Christ, and He had every one of them in His life. So, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and when the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced in my life, others are seeing Christ through me and in me. So fruit is needed in order for me to reveal Christ to others. Fruit, listen, is needed in order for me to reproduce converts. Jesus, when He saved us, He's given us a command to go to all the world and preach the gospel. But He told His disciples in Acts 1:8, He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, I'm no good as a witness. And He said, you shall be witnesses. I'm no good as a witness until I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I can go out here and knock on doors all day long in the spirit of my flesh. And listen, they'll be doing no good. I can go out here and preach on the corner of Main Street in Winston-Salem with a megaphone. But if I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, it's all flesh and it's of no avail. See, everything I do that's going to produce anything for the glory of God is going to be a result of me being filled with the Spirit of God. Right. Sit up and listen. Filled with the Spirit of God is what we need to be. And as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced in my life. Others see Christ in me. Let me say this, when they see Christ in you, they'll want the Christ you have. Right. One reason why people don't want what we have is because what we have is really and honestly, it's not too appetizing to them. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting and broken and they need help and they need Christ. They need the living Jesus Christ. They need to know Him. The reason they don't is because they've seen Christians. They come to church and say, I've been there, done that. They don't have no life. They're not excited about it. I've watched them people all week long. I know who they are. That church, that God, they say He ain't doing them no good. But see, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit is being evidenced in my life, they're going to look at us and they're going to see love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, faith, all these things, meekness, and temperance. They're going to say, why? They sure treat people different than everybody else does. Wow, they seem to be real. You know what you're doing? You're revealing Christ to them. As you reveal Christ to them, we're able to reproduce converts because what did I say fruit was in that definition a while ago? Fruit bears seed. Fruit. Inside of a tomato, there's a bunch of seeds. Inside of an apple, there's a bunch of seeds. And when you take that fruit and it breaks apart, there's a seed inside of it. And you plant that seed, and guess what it's going to do? That seed has a real good percentage chance to grow, reproduce new life. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The fruit is natural. The fruit is needed. And then let me say this. fruit is noticeable. The fruit of the Spirit is noticeable. I've already touched on some of this. It's noticeable through our expressions, the way we treat others, the way we worship God. It's easy to tell if somebody's worshiping God. Honestly, it's easy to tell if somebody's worshiping God with a true heart or if they're doing it half-hearted. It's easy to tell if somebody treats someone at church that like they really love them or like they just have to shake their hand because they're in church. The fruit of the Spirit is seen in our expressions. It is seen through experience. When we deal with others and they deal with us in a daily life, through their experience with you, they will know whether you're meek and temperate. They'll know whether you're gentle or good. What did Jesus say? He said, you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. There's people watching you, church. There's people watching me. I'm going to be honest with you, and I just flat tell you, there's some preachers that I could call by name. I've been totally turned off by their attitude, the way they treat people, the way they treat churches, the way they treat church members. And I just be honest with you, I could say, hey, there is absolutely no way that you can be hateful to people and turn around and tell them that you're filled with God. It's noticeable through our experience, noticed through examination. Not only will people see you in experience, but people will examine you. You better believe it that if you call yourself a Christian and you tell people where you go to church, you better believe it, Brother Steve. There's people down there at the job. They're watching. They're watching to know whether you are what you say you are. And I'm not preaching perfection. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about you and I having a desire, listen, and an appetite to draw nearer, nearer, nearer to thee, Lord Jesus Christ. As we draw near, as we spend more time in His Word, as we pray more, as we seek His face, as we allow ourselves to be yielded to Him and say, God, here I am. I'm not much, but whatever I have, whatever I am, God, use me. And He fills us. And as He fills us and uses us for His glory, His fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, these things, these nine qualities are exhibited through our life. Fruit is easily seen. It's easily smelled. It's easily tasted. You walk through a orange orchard where there's orange trees. You won't have no problem figuring out what you're close to. Anybody ever walk through an orchard to grow to orange trees? There's no problem. You have no problem figuring out where he was, did you? There's orange trees around here. Amen. You walk up to a strawberry farm and it don't take long. You see the mounds, you see the rows, and you look, and it don't take long, you look down there on the vine and those strawberries are evident exactly what they are. I mean, you get a big, red, juicy strawberry. Hallelujah. Same thing can be said for peach trees or whatever. And let me say this. When you get around a Christian that's filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in their life and it's being evidenced in their life, you won't have a problem here. You won't have to sit down and say, now let me put you to the test. Do you do this? Do you? No, 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 no. No, no, no. Fruit is evident. Fruit is noticeable. You won't have to tell, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. Now, you won't have, when you're filled with the Spirit, you won't have to tell nobody. It'll be evident. It'll be noticeable. Let me say this. Not only is fruit noticeable, but fruit is either desirable or it's detestable. Fruit is either desirable or it's detestable. Fruit will either cause you to, man, I want some of that. That smells good. Man, that looks good. Or you may get around some rotten fruit. Ah. How many ever smelled rotten peaches? Got around them. Man, it stinks. I mean, I like tomatoes, man. I had tomatoes. Y'all do know tomatoes are fruit, right? And tomatoes, I had my counter full of tomatoes this evening. From tomatoes I picked yesterday, and I walked by them, man, it smelled like tomatoes. Smelled good. But I went outside, and in my garden, there's a couple that something got into, and they rotted, and they fell on the ground. And I was like, oh, man, I don't even want to walk near them things. You know why? Because it'll either be desirable or to be detested. I love strawberries. I'll just go ahead and tease y'all for a second. I love strawberries. Man, there's nothing better than getting a big old bowl full of fresh, ripe, sweet, juicy strawberries. Amen? Amen. But you know what? I was eating some strawberries one day, and I was going down through there, and I come upon this one strawberry, and it was darker than the rest of them. That thing was almost maroonish looking. And you could touch that thing. You know why? It's rotten. It wasn't no cam. You know what? It was noticeable. Wasn't no question, should I taste it or not? No, you know, you didn't want any doubt. It was noticeable. I'm afraid the fruit of the Spirit in our life, it's either there or it's not. And if it's there, our life, what we have, will be desirable to others. And if it's not there, it'll be detested. So here's the question tonight as the piano begins to play. Does your life exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Or does it not? Does your life? Does your life exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Day in and day out, is your life expressing Jesus Christ to others? You say, well, I don't chew, or I don't drink, or I don't cuss. It's not what we're talking about tonight. Listen, there's some things that we all know we ought not do. But I'm talking about tonight, are we filled with the Spirit of God to the point that we are evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because you have love one for another. I wonder if somebody gets around you. I wonder if somebody spends some time with you at the job site or maybe even at church. I wonder if somebody gets around you wherever you are and they can say, well, I know that person's filled with the Spirit of God. To be honest with you, God has really, I won't say beat me up, I don't think he beats us up, but God has really been teaching me some things in this chapter. And I just want to share them with you tonight because I think we got to be careful. We got to be careful in our zeal and in our robust. I mean, we want to be, man, I hate sin and I hate the devil, but we better be careful to make sure that not only are we against some things, but we spend time with God and we're filled with the Spirit of God. I want people to see Christ in me through. Father, I pray you take these few thoughts from your word. And I pray, God, you'd have your will and way in our lives. I pray you'd work in hearts tonight. Help us to examine ourselves. Lord, if others are going to examine us, help us to examine ourselves. See where we stand. Are we spending quality time with you? Are we in your word? Are we living according to the Spirit of God, or are we living according to the flesh? Are we allowing ourselves to be dictated by our own desires, or are we yielded to the Spirit of God? Are we walking in the Spirit? God, help us tonight. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. We're standing all across the auditorium.